going to get into some stuff today. All right, I'm going to try and wrap up all of what we've been doing this semester, kind of pack it into one little question. And it's just a tiny little question that you're going to get to answer. The Armor Bearer team, the university team, all of Armor Bearers, myself, we have spent time answering this question over the summer and working on it through the semester. We're going to hand that to you. We're going to talk about this question. I'll unveil the question in a little bit. But we're going to talk about it today. We're going to teach through what it really is asking you. And then you're going to have a chance during your life groups to really write this out. If you're not in life groups with us, get in life groups. It's not too late. This is the last week of life groups. So it's okay. Look at me. It's okay to join a life group this week. When you walk in, nobody's going to go, sorry, man, it's the last one. So can you just, you know, it's not going to happen. You're going to be welcomed, and you can jump into that life group at the beginning of next semester. This is a great time to connect. So if you want to jump in, please do that. We have them on Mondays, Sundays, and Thursdays. Be part of a life group. If you don't know what that is or have a question about one, ask any of the Armor Bearers. Armor Bearers, smile and raise your hand. There they are. Okay, ask any of them. They'll get you signed up. But we're going to answer this question in life group, okay? So it's going to be big. It's called the central integration question. Now, that sounds really, really, really complicated, really smart. I didn't make it up. This actually came from a class that I took several semesters ago, and it's going to take me several more semesters, many semesters in my schooling. A class that I took in seminary. So I go to Fuller Theological Seminary, and one of the points of emphasis as you're going through seminary is it's spiritual development, vocational discernment, like, God, what are you doing in my life kind of thing. And one of the things that they do is they make you answer this same question four different times throughout your time in seminary. And it was the first time I saw it, I just went, wow, this is really tough to answer, but this is really good for me to do, not just one time, but as a discipline in my life. So I want to talk about it with you. Now, here's kind of where this is going to come in. What we've been trying to do over the last few weeks is we took our entire discussion on the cross, we really took out of that the piece about us being a royal priesthood, that's human vocation, right? You remember that conversation that we're supposed to be a royal priesthood, that's what God has called us, and that's really the essence. A lot of the essence of what Christ did on the cross is reestablish humanity in that position of being a royal priesthood in Christ Jesus. And the fact that we're supposed to reflect the worship of creation back to God, and then we are, in our areas of influence, wherever God has put you on the planet, you're to reflect God's character and God's wisdom onto the earth. So it's kind of that. We're reflecting worship back to God. We're creatures of worship. And in the same way, in the stewardship of creation, we're reflecting God's wisdom and his justice on the earth. That's what it means to be in the royal priesthood. Sometimes we hear that and we go, I don't even know what that means. But that's what practically it means. What we've been trying to do over the last few weeks is say, okay, now how do I get into that on a personal level? Because that still sounds kind of spiritual, kind of out there, doesn't it? Right? Reflect God's wisdom back onto the earth and his justice. That sounds really cool, right? That's a bumper sticker. Y'all don't do bumper stickers anymore. Y'all are way too cool for that. The hipster thing now is like the stickers on the back of my car and on my laptop and on my Yeti, right? You guys are way too, we used to have bumper stickers and it went on your bumper, right? Anyway, no? Any bumper sticker people still out there? Anybody rocking a bumper sticker? For real, there's not a single bumper sticker in this room? Whoa. Okay. All right. I'll move on. Do y'all know what that is? Okay. Okay, move on. So we've got to get even more practical with it, and we've been doing that. So what we've been saying is, and we spent the last 2 weeks trying to dive into, what does that mean for you personally? If you are going to function in this royal priesthood, what does it mean to you personally? How do I arrive at that? And the first element was you've got to know who you are uniquely. Who has God created you uniquely to be? There are general things that are true about all of us in this room if we are believers. And those general things are good, but we also have to recognize that those are the foundation on which also lay things that God has created you uniquely for. and that God has done uniquely in you. And part of understanding who I am is encountering God for that answer. God, who am I uniquely? What does identity look like for me uniquely? And we talked about, some people get uncomfortable with that idea of unique identity. And we talked about how in the kingdom, unique identity is not for you to be set apart. It's not for you to be able to stand up and claim, okay, God's made me unique and I'm special. Look at me. It's not for that. It's for the purpose of you blending in. It's for the purpose of cohesion in the body. The kingdom of God doesn't work like the kingdom on the earth, right? The kingdom of God says this, that God is going to make you uniquely in order that you work together in the body of Christ in order that Christ is glorified, right? So that's the purpose of uniqueness in the kingdom of God. So that was the first element as we went, okay, in order to function in this royal priesthood, if I'm going to do it, I've got to know who I am. And I know who I am by encountering God's voice in my life. That comes relationally. It's not going to come just by Q&A, right? It's going to come as I encounter God in his voice speaking into my life. Here's the second piece of that. Now, this is really important. It's who you are uniquely as called by God, as given identity by God. But it's connected to, and you cannot separate these two things. It's connected to what God is doing on the earth, right? If you just go, God, this is who you've created me to be uniquely, and it's so I can do whatever I want, you're disconnected from his purposes on the earth, and you will not function at the fullest capacity in the royal priesthood because you're going to become extremely self-centered, and the giftings that God has given you will end up being twisted to glorify you and accomplish your purposes on the earth. So here's the deal. The royal priesthood is two parts, right? It's got to work by you knowing who you are uniquely and knowing that God has given you that uniqueness for his, everybody say his. His purposes on the earth. You see it? God created you uniquely to be part of the body of Christ in order that Christ is glorified. And Christ is glorified as the body of Christ is walking in his purposes for us on the earth. Okay? So those things have to be understood. Now, again, I think even when we make that, and if you missed either of those weeks, I'm not going in depth on either of those topics. You can jump on the podcast and listen again. Those are both up there. I think still that is challenging for us to articulate. Even though there's a lot of detail there, your unique identity in him and God's purpose on the earth, even though when we understand those things, if I were to sit down with you over coffee and go, okay, talk to me about what that looks like for you, I still think, and maybe I'm alone in this, but for me, that was still hard to articulate personally. If I were to just have to write it down, it was still hard for me to articulate. So what we're going to try to do this week, and that's why I think the beauty of this question, this question I think really brilliantly pulls out of us the answer to the combination of those two things, God's work on the earth and the uniqueness that he's created us for, and makes us write it down really simply. And so this is a question that I'm not going to put it up there and you're going to go, oh, it's option A. I know the answer, right? It won't work that way. This is going to be a question that's going to, you're going to probably just look at it the first time and go, I don't know. And you spend a little time with it. Some of you, I don't know, like personalities in here, some of you may get really frustrated that you can't answer that in 2 minutes, right? That's not like, there's no spiritual fault in you if you can't answer it in 2 minutes, okay? So just calm down, okay? Take some time with this question. This is going to be a process. And it's going to be fun to do as a life group because it's a really fun question to do in community. It's really helpful to have the voice of people that know you involved in this question. That's what we're going to work through today. I'm going to try to give you some material to help articulate the combination of those two things, the uniqueness that God has created you for and how that ties into what God's doing on the earth. Nod and smile, okay? I know it's dead week. I'm going to give you an assignment. So I'm in just like all other SFA professors, right? I'm going to give you work on dead week. Amen? Okay. All right. So that's what we're going to try to do. Let me see. Do I want to put the question up there first? Don't put it up there. Do you have the question? Okay, good. We'd be in trouble if we didn't have the main point there. Okay. You're going to see, so this question is around the word call. You guys ever heard that word calling or call in a church context? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Okay, for every hand that's up, I guarantee you there'd be a different answer in here of what it is. Okay, what is calling? Some of you say, it's my purpose. Some of you say, well, it's my job. It's my vocation. There'd be a lot of different answers. We've heard it a lot, and it causes, I think, a lot of frustration. Like, that's the thing we want to know. That and the will of God. Those are the two things that I see floated out there all the time is, I just want to know my call, and I really want to know the will of God for my life. Those are huge questions, and I think we really complicate them. And so what today we're going to do is we're going to try to simplify them. So this is going to be around the word calling. But I want to maybe give you a new context for the word call. So here's this guy who taught the class, his name's Todd Bolsinger. This is a cool title. This would be a cool title someday I would like. Vice President, that's first of all, woohoo, right? For vocation and formation. How would you like to be the vice president for vocation and formation? That just sounds like really spiritual. At Fuller Seminary, okay? So here's what he says. I love this. He said, discerning calling is a process. Everybody say process. We're going to use that word a bunch today, okay? Discerning calling is a process of self-discovery and humility, of embracing and letting go. That over time, everybody say over time forms a deep, confident conviction that of all things there are to do in the world, this is mine to do. That sounds intense, but here's what I really want you to lock on to today, because for many of you, for most of you, and you're way ahead of the game, I didn't start really wrestling in this until after I was in school. This may be the first time you've ever engaged this, like actually making it simple and practical, what calling even is. So here's what I want you to lock into. It's a process, okay? It won't happen today, okay? Don't get this idea that that's going to happen today. I hope it begins today. Not going to happen today. And what the hope is that we continue to encounter the voice of God in our lives so that over time, this deep, confident conviction that of all things this is mine to do kind of starts to form in you. Okay? That's the idea. We want to begin this process to where that deep down conviction that of all things this is mine to do starts to form in you. We want to start to be able to articulate it, okay? So, let's just throw the question up there, okay? Here's the question. It's a central integration question. You don't have to ever remember a central integration question ever again. We'll just call it the question, right? Super simple. At this point in your journey, how do you envision your call to God's mission in the world? Okay? At this point in your journey, how do you envision your call to God's mission in the world? Now, do you notice it? Okay, there's two components that I want you to really see. Your call, that's going to speak of your uniqueness. So who you are, your unique identity is going to be wrapped all in that portion that talks about your call. Then you see the back half of that to what? To God's mission where? In the world. So it's immediately going to be applicable to where's in the world? Like where are you in the world right now? Smile, you're here. Right? So it's immediately, locally applicable. In your space, right now, this question needs to be answered and played out. So that's how this is going to work. So here's what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, I think we'll just leave this up there. And what I'm going to try to do, so that you can kind of see the context of the whole question the whole time, I'm going to break down each little section of it so that maybe at the end we kind of have an idea of what it's asking and what it's not asking. Because there's some cliffs I don't want us to step off of in this question. So I'm going to break it down, okay? And this may be oversimplification, but we're looking for simple, right? You ever gone to church and just walked away and gone, man, that was complicated? The kingdom is really not complicated. It's really quite simple. It's profound, but it's really quite simple. So we're going for simple today. Okay, here's the first three words. At this point. You guys are getting really better at that. I don't have to tell you to say something anymore. You're getting better at that. At this point, okay, so what does that mean? It places value on where you are right now. I think the big cliff that we step off of in calling is it's like, who do I want to be someday? Nope, that's out of bounds. What you answer this, what your answer here may be who you are someday. But here's what it says, at this point. So you're looking at this point means today and past. I can look back on past and come to today, but what we're not trying to do is say, this is who I want to grow up to be in 15 years or 20 years, okay? That's not the hope of this question. What it's going to do is it's going to tie us to at this point. Here's the other thing that at this point does. I told you we're going to say it a lot, okay? This releases us from this being a forever document. Everybody breathe. Like, big, deep breath, okay? Some of you are like, I'm not writing this down because I'm stuck with that, right? Look at me. This is not a forever document, okay? And smile. That's a good thing because remember, this is a process where this deep down conviction gets formed over a period of time. You're going to articulate the answer to this question differently in 10 years than you are today. And that's a good thing. If you're saying the same thing in the same way today that you are tomorrow, there's no growth. There's no process. You may be giving some of the same ideas, but you're going to be articulating in a different way. So at this point, values what you're saying today, but lets it change tomorrow. And that's a good thing. Lets you grow up into this and mature in this. It also lets God do the work that God needs to do, which is lead the process. Okay? So at this point in your journey, okay, whose journey? What's the word your mean? Point to who it's talking about. There it is. Some of you are like, oh, I don't know. Right? Come on, point to who this is talking about. Right here, point at you. That's the answer. You're like, oh, no, look, I did that thing. When I was in elementary school, I did the thing where the teacher said to point or put their hands up or whatever. I used to do that. I'm cool now. All right? Y'all are not as cool as you think you are. Listen, that's a deep and profound adult revelation. I'm not as cool as I think that I am, okay? It's freedom, right, Clay Jones? Okay, just kidding. He's cool. Ooh. My sister lives in Nacogdoches, and she's been able to spend a lot of time around our family, and so she's been privy to some marriage moments. Married people, okay? Marriage moments. We don't have to say much else, right? Marriage moments. And her little catchphrase when she's like in one that she's not real sure she wants to be is she just kind of goes, ooh. And that lets us know, like, Kelly's backing out. Like, this got a little, like, how are we going to get all the kids and the dog all the way to Dallas-Fort Worth for Christmas? I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm going to have to start putting stuff on the top of the car, and we're going to have to get one of those things that goes on the back and luggage. And there's so many people. And Kelly's like, ooh, I don't want to be in here, right? Marriage moment. Okay. All right. At this point, cool kids, your journey, all right? Here's what your journey means. It means it's unique to you, okay? This has got to, like, listen, when you answer this question, I need to see you in it. You need to see you in it. If it's so generic that I can't find you anywhere in it, then it's not your journey, okay? There's uniqueness to it because it's you. It values your journey. Here's the other thing. What's that word journey mean? A process. Come on. It means I've traveled down a road, right? And look, that's going to be different for every single one of you. As you look back on your life, as you look back in your context of your relationship with Jesus, every one of us is going to have a different journey that has occurred, right? That's a really beautiful thing. And it values your journey. It's unique to you. And here's the other thing. It values what you've been through. Because some of y'all, the challenge is finding value in some of the junk that you've been through. Right? And look at me. This is really important. A lot of us, man, if I'm going to come into calling in my life, I've got to bring the really good, sweet-smelling stuff before the Lord because that's what he's okay with. And I want to just tell you that the junk is just as valuable to God because he was present in all of that mess. And it's just as meaningful in your formation as the stuff that you would look at and go, that's what God likes. You're wrong. He likes all of it because it's you. He loves you. So your journey and the way in which you have come to associate with him, to come into relationship with him, is valuable to him regardless of how difficult it's been. For some of you, that's going to be a catching point, okay? For some of you, that's going to be really hard. And I want to just tell you, in all of this, and I should have said this before, go through this, the answer to this question, as slowly as you need to. Don't force it because it's like, we got to answer this by life group on Monday, okay? Because some of you might have to stop right there in your journey, and you're going to have to look back on some really tough stuff in your life. And you might not quite be ready to deal with some of that stuff right there. And this question may be God kind of putting his finger on it and going, look, I'm patient, I'm ready when you are, but are you ready to talk about it? And if that's a slow over months process, let it be slow over months and years. Because part of the process is God bringing you to the point where you're ready to deal with some of that stuff. Y'all with me? And that's okay. God is patient. Look, he took time out of the equation. God is totally patient. When you're ready, he's ready, right? And he's not upset with you that it may take you time. Sometimes as parents, we do that. One of the things God's convicting me of as a parent right now is how often I say, hurry up. Oh my gosh, I say it way too much. I told my son yesterday, like he gets out of the shower and is getting ready. Like you're like watching a sloth get dressed, man. It's like one arm here. Have y'all seen that new Geico commercial where the sloth's drawing the line? That is really good. I feel like I'm watching that. Like it's easy. But why am I in a hurry? Hurry up for what? Right? And listen, God is completely patient. If God's putting his finger on something right now in your life and you're going, God, I'm not sure that that's a safe place to go to. I'm not sure I want to talk about that right now. God's not going, okay, fine, then I'll deal with you later. Right? Like I do sometimes as a parent. God's going, okay, I'll wait. And I want to talk about it, but when you're ready. He's so good in that, okay? So don't rush this because you think God's in a hurry. He's eternal. Everybody say eternal. It means there's a long time left. All right? So smile, okay? So value what you've been through. And then look, when we say in your journey, it's a journey and a process. I think I've said that a bunch, okay? So, where are we at? At this point in your journey, comma. We just made it to the first comma, and it's only 10-10, okay? We're doing good. Here we go. So, how do you envision, we're going to take more than three words, how do you envision your call? Okay, a few things to say here. First one is, you envision, you, point to you again, you. It's okay for you to say this like you would say it. Some of y'all getting these questions like a spiritual question. I got to be really spiritual when I answer this. No, just say it like you would say it. If I sat down with you at coffee and asked you this question, write it down like you would say it to me. Say it in your words, in your language. This is your words. What you're doing is you're speaking back to God what you hear him saying and doing in your life. This is called prayer. You're saying back to God what you see him saying and doing in your life. See, all of this is going to revolve around the voice of God in your life. What's God doing? What's God saying in your life? And all you're doing, when it says, how do you envision your call? You don't have to get it in perfect, holy terminology. Please don't put a Bible verse in here. Right? Because some of y'all, it's like you will put that in there so that you don't have to say it the way you want to say it. Because you're still kind of got this thing where we got to put ourselves before God in the right way. You know how you can put yourself in front of God in the right way? It's through Jesus, and that's done. Okay? You don't have to like tie this up in a bow and go, okay, God, here it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's my call. Right? Don't do that. Don't play. You wouldn't say it like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, even if it is in the message. You would not say it like that, okay? Smile, that was a little preacher joke. Okay. Some of y'all might be more like ESV. I'm just kidding. No, you wouldn't. Where are the King Jamesers in here? This is thee thou my might calling, right? Shout out to the King James. Okay. How do you envision your call? So how do you envision? Your words, super important that's your words. Okay, your call. Let me just check you out of this right here. Calling is not your job. It's not your job. Don't put, I'm called to be a veterinarian and get my degree at Stephen F. Austin. Do we even have vet stuff here? No, you had to go to, you had to travel to College Station for that. All right, never mind. Right? Calling in the scriptures is understood. And when I mean understood, I mean like received in a variety of different ways. Okay? If you just look up, okay, if you kind of do a study, and if you want this, I've got a great little spreadsheet that'll show you several passages that'll give you this. If you want to look up calling, and when people are called in the scriptures, you're going to find that it's different on every single story. It never happens the same way, okay? God's voice interrupts people's lives in different ways. Sometimes it's like, boom, road to, you know, you're traveling on a road, blinding light, shutting everything down, like serious business right there. And then sometimes it's through this quiet voice of a friend, right? It happens at a variety of different times, in a variety of different ways. The only thing that you'll be able to find in the scriptures that's common in all these stories is it's God speaking. The value is not the way that you hear it. So don't try to be all super like elite Christian, like, well, when I was meditating on a mountain and speaking with God like Moses, that's when he said, right? Don't do that. Because sometimes it might be like while you're driving to school and you're listening to not Christian radio, don't lie, okay? By something else, I don't know. And words in a song, and God goes, I'm going to take these, thanks, they were mine anyway, and I'm going to speak through them and talk to you, okay? Right? And that might be the context of calling. Don't go, well, actually, send it AC/DC. And this is when God spoke. Like, it's okay if AC/DC was the context in which God spoke to you. That's okay. Smile. It's okay. The what matters is that it's God speaking. Look at me. What matters is that it's God speaking. It's hearing God. It's interacting with him, okay? So calling comes as a result of God's voice in our lives. And God speaks in a variety of different ways. Some other time we need to talk about the discernment of God's voice. That's really important. But it's God's voice, okay? Calling is going to be, it's what Todd Bolsinger said. It's like, what is your lane to run in, right? We all have a lane to run in this thing. What's your lane? It's really just defining what's my lane to run in. It's that deep down conviction that of all things to do, this is mine to do. Don't worry about if that's a little bit sloppy the way you articulate it. But that's what calling is. The other thing about calling is that it's given by God and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, last little thing, because I'm running a little bit behind. Okay, the last piece is, how do you envision your call to God's mission in the world? Okay, this is super, super important. Call is not disconnected from what God is doing. So if in your answer there's nowhere in it that connects your uniqueness to God's action, if we can't see, like, the Great Commission in it, then what are we doing? Now, don't quote the Great Commission. Like, I'm Grace, and I've been called to uniquely make disciples of all nations, right? And baptize them in the name of the Father. Don't do that, right? But what is God doing? What do we say that we are? We're ministers of what? If being a minister of reconciliation, operating in the Great Commission, if we can't find those, and you may articulate that in a different way, but if we can't find that in your answer, then we need to bring who you are into connection with what God's doing in the world. Because the kingdom of God is advancing, he's making disciples of all nations, and that all that process is God reconciling things back to himself, making things right. That is what you've been called into. In it, you glorify God. In it, you reflect his justice and his wisdom on the earth. And in doing so, God's going to use you uniquely. To do it, God's going to use you uniquely. Y'all tracking? So there's got to be something in there about what God is doing. Okay? Not generally, but specifically through you. Okay. And let me say one more thing about this before. What we're going to do is I'm going to read mine, and then I'm going to have our armor bearers read theirs. Just to give you an idea of what this looks like, because there's rules to this question, and I want to tell you those in just a minute. But one thing I do want to say, as I just was thinking about today, some of you, let me just say this. I want to challenge you that as you articulate this question, to not let it be, to not let it just sit static in your life. Be about what you write down. One of the things I think is a huge, huge issue that is really plaguing the church right now, and it's two parts in this area. One is that we don't know the answer to this question. So we kind of wander aimlessly. We don't have a lot of direction, and we get into a church context like this, and we think that call is like, am I doing the coffee ministry or the youth ministry or the college ministry? Like, we get really confused about what call is, and we just make it about activity and action, and then we get tired and worn out, and then we go, is this really all that God made for? So that's one section of the problem. The other section of the problem is that when we kind of arrive at this place where we go, man, there, it feels like that's the lane that God has for me to run in. Like, there's some deep down conviction starts to set in. What we do is we think, well, I'm going to wait until someone will praise me for that. I'm going to wait till that will put me in some sort of spotlight. I'm going to wait until that'll look really sexy. Like, I can do that and it'll look really, really good. Right? And if it in any way brings me into the shadows or the background or it's hard, then I'm going to keep it on the paper as the answer to this question. And all I would ask you to do is see David. Look at David in the scriptures. How was God, when was God forming some of this deep down stuff in him that we see play out in later days as he, you know, as he writes the Psalms, as he becomes this man after God's own heart, right? How was that formed? We can't just skip to the end and go, look at how awesome he was, because even in that he failed. Even in that he had struggle. I mean, do you know that, where was he even found when he was called to be the next king of Israel? Where did they find him? With the sheep in the backside of the middle of nowhere. Hey, Nacogdoches. Right? Come on, listen to me. Some of you, it's like you'll write this down and it's like, it's this attitude that it'll just happen someday. And someday I'll just be on the platform or somebody will notice me or whatever. And it kind of disconnects us from the grind of what it looks like to step into this fearlessly and know that God's going to shape it and mold it in our lives, even in the tough stuff. You're not going to be effective in the kingdom if all you do is write this down and you don't get to step in living in it. Go for it. It's God is eternal, but life is short. If you have interacted with the voice of God in your life to the point where you can articulate, even if it's messy, the answer to this question, and I look at your life and I can't see any of it being done. I'm not saying you do it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you, but you're not moving in that direction. What's wrong with you? Listen, you're going to fail at it. You're going to go, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and you're going to step out, and it's going to not look like what you thought. You think David heard this idea of king and thought he'd be hiding in a cave because the established king was trying to kill him? You think that's the image that was in his mind when the prophet said, you're going to be king? Probably not. You came and told me I was going to be king, I'd be like, all right, people are going to carry me around. That's what I'm talking about, right? That may have been what was in his mind, but the way God formed him, the way God shaped him, was in hiding out in a cave, teaching him humility when he had a chance to kill the man that was after him, and he restrained himself. That's not popular. Being in the backside of the desert cleaning sheep dung, I guess he didn't have to clean up because it was a pasture thing, but moving sheep around, that's not attractive. Like, you're not going to tell somebody that and they're going to go, wow, you really must be following Jesus. But listen, that's the deep formation of who we are happens there. And it will not happen if you just write this down and leave it on a piece of paper and just stand off to the sideline. You will fail at this. It's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. That is not an excuse not to step. Come on. it's going to be a whole lot more fun. It'll be hard. It'll be a whole lot more fun following Jesus if you're willing to come after him in that way. Remember, he's the treasure hidden in the field, which you're willing to sell everything you own to come find it, come after him. Would you come after him? Right? And in that failure, learn the beauty of what happens in failure as God rebuilds us and remakes us and redeems us in those moments. You want to know one thing that's true about children who have a healthy paradigm of their father? They're not afraid to fail. Because fear is not tied to worth and value. Failure is not tied to worth and value. Do you know that if you get a hold of this and go, okay, God, I'm coming, and like the first step is poof. That's okay. Look, he's not going to go, oh man, I thought you were better than that. Listen, some of you have heard that before. Some of you think that about God, that rightness and performance is equated to your value. It's not. And knowing that we are loved by him, John 5:19 says what? You come on. I only do what I see my father do. You know the next verse says, and he shows me everything he's doing because he loves me. Knowing the love of God is what allows us to run fearlessly in this thing. He loves you. And coming after this and failing is not going to be the end of the world. It may be a little bump in the way you imagined it, but God's okay, and you're going to be fine too. Okay? All right, smile. Here's what we're going to do. We've got a smile there. Everybody? Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read these. All right, arm bearers, come on up. We're going to read these. And we got 5 minutes to do that. So y'all, like, no cool walking, Ann Holcomb. Come on. Sometimes they make me nervous. I don't know what they're going to do. All right. So I'll just read mine. Y'all just come on up, stand wherever you want. My stuff's here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to read mine. And then I'm going to let you guys read yours. And then Chris Barton. Chris is going to pray for you as you engage this question. Okay, so I've given you plenty of notice. Okay. All right, here's mine. Here's the catch on this question. You only have 100 words to answer it. 100 words. So I'll give you a few little practicals. There's some practicals in the life group, but 100 words. That cuts out all the junk, okay? 100 words is good. Okay, or less. You don't have to do 100 words. At this point, I believe God has called me to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to a deeper walk in the Holy Spirit. This plays out in two distinct ways. The first is in teaching and instruction in the practical reality of living by the Spirit in the kingdom of God. The second is through one-on-one ministry in areas of freedom and identity. In each of these, I believe God has given me a unique ability to bring the reality of the kingdom of God into the arena of everyday life and practice. Okay, so that's mine. So you ought to be able to hear that, regardless of how well you know me, you ought to be able to hear that and in some way go, I got you. Like, that's good. That's not good like you wrote that really well, even though I know it's brilliant. But, you ought to see me in it, okay? So I'm not going to ask you. I'm too afraid to ask you if you see me in it. But Naomi, go ahead.
God has placed me in Acadochus as a speech pathology major in order to use my career as a platform to spread the gospel. I envision my calling to live missionally in the present while maintaining a submissive spirit to whatever he asks of me. I serve the purpose of allowing the Lord to use me to lead others to him in spiritual worship, reached or unreached. God is currently using me to make disciples of college students and to encourage other believers while embracing the nations from Nacogdoches. Through the spiritual gift of exhortation, identity of secure, childlike delight in the Lord, pursuit of a kingdom perspective of people, and platform of authority God has given me, I push others through relationship to deeper intimacy and vulnerability with God. By God doing radical and crazy things through me, I desire to see the kingdom come, eyes be opened, and students to know that in Christ they're secure and uniquely beloved because of who God is. I seek to glorify God in all the ways that I lead, all the things I do, and all the things I say.
Because the Lord is all-knowing, perfect in love, and desires his bride, he has graciously created me to be an admirer of beauty in all its forms. I envision that my call to God's mission in the world at this point in my journey is to submit to the practice of unmistakably knowing God's character, identify the beauty of the Lord's manifestation in humanity, make it known through encouragement and discipleship relationships, and to be a constant voice that reminds humanity to be the best frame to the work of art that the Lord has created in them.
Mine's a little more simple than all of theirs. But that's me. So, anyways. At this point in my journey, I envision my call to God's mission in the world as a leader in the church to be an example to college students and youth alike, going and being a representation of Christ on campus and in the community in a physical platform in whatever I decide to take a heart towards. Having diligence towards my work and caring relationships and being an ear to those who need an ear, in order that I can further prepare myself for future callings for God's mission in the world.
At this current moment, God has called me to interact with college students in such a way that they are drawn to the incomprehensible, better-than-life love of our God through his words. He has created me to be a vessel to carry out this love, expressing it through service. I have been adopted by a heavenly Father, so I seek to imitate him. By doing this, I would display the character of Jesus through intentional acts of service. Will you all pray with me? Father God, you are so good. And we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, we thank you for the words that you've brought through Kendall. Father, I pray that they would just set with these students, Lord, and that those who have to answer the question tonight, Father, would be ready. Father, that there would be peace in the words that you speak to them, and that they would be able to articulate them easily and simply. Father, I pray that just that we would remember that this is a process, and like Kendall said, that this is not set in stone, Lord, but that this can be changing as we move. Even over break, it might shift. So, Father, I just pray that there's peace in that as well. Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for this time, and I just pray for the next service that you would continue to speak to each and every one of us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed but not released.